enjoying themselves. Freedom. Then he realized that he had neither cash nor credit. How can I get to Hell Crater? Freedom doesn't mean much when you are penniless. As he approached the transportation center, an eager-looking young man in a splashy sports shirt and a sparkling smile fell in step beside him. "Going to hell?" he asked brightly. Bracknell looked him over. Blonde crew cut, smile plastered in place, perfect teeth, a glad-handing salesman, he realized. "I'm thinking about it," Bracknell said. "Don't miss Sam Gunn's Inferno Casino," said the smiling young man. "It's got the best action." "Action?" Bracknell played naive. "Or roulette, blackjack, low-grav craps tables, championship karate competition." The smile grew even wider. "Beautiful women and free champagne. Dirty minds and clean bodies. What more could you ask for?" Bracknell looked up at the transportation center's huge display of departures and arrivals. The young pitchman gripped his arm. "Don't worry about that. There's an Inferno special leaving in 15 minutes, direct to the casino. You'll be there in less than 2 hours, and they'll even serve you a meal in transit." "The fare must be..." "It's free," the blonde proclaimed, "and your first $100 worth of chips is on the house."
"Really?"
"As long as you buy $1,000 worth, that's a 10% discount right off the bat." Bracknell allowed himself to be chivvied into a cable car painted with lurid red flames across its silver body. 14 other men and women were already sitting inside, most of them middle-aged and looking impatient. As he took the empty seat up front by the forward window, one of the dowdyish women called out,
"When are we leaving? We've been waiting here almost an hour."
The blonde gave her the full wattage of his smile.
"I'm supposed to fill up the bus before I let it go, but since you've been so patient, I'll send you off just as soon as I get one more passenger."
It took another quarter hour, but at last the car was sealed up. It rode on an overhead cable to the massive airlock built into the side of the main plaza's dome. Within minutes, they were climbing across Alphonsus's worn old ring-wall mountains and then down onto the plain of Mare Nubium. The cable car rocked slightly as it whizzed 20 meters above the bleak, pockmarked regolith. It smelled old and used. Too many bodies have been riding in this bucket for too long, Bracknell thought. But he smiled to himself as the car raced along and the overhead speakers gave an automated lecture about the scenic wonders they were rushing past. There was no pilot or crew in the cable car. Everything was automated. The free meal consisted of a thin sandwich and a bottle of genuine lunar water obtained from the vending machine at the rear of the car. Bracknell chewed contentedly and watched the straight wall flash by. True to the blonde pitchman's word, the cable car went directly inside the Inferno Casino. The other passengers hurried out, eager to spend their money. Bracknell left the car last, looking for the nearest exit from the casino. It wasn't easy to find. All he could see was an ocean of people lapping up against islands of gaming tables, looking either frenzied or grim as they gambled away their money. Raucous music poured from overhead speakers, drowning out any laughter or conversation. No exits in sight. The casino management wanted their customers to stay at the gaming tables or restaurants. There were plenty of sexy young women sauntering around, too, many in spray paint costumes, but none of them gave Bracknell more than a cursory glance. In his gray coveralls, he looked more like a maintenance man than a high roller. When he finally found the casino's main entrance, Bracknell saw that the entire Hell Crater complex of casinos, hotels, restaurants, and shops was built inside one massive dome. Like Cellini, the complex's living quarters and offices were tunneled underground. Bracknell studied a map display, then headed on foot to the rejuvenation clinic of Takeo Koga. It was one of six such clinics in the complex. Down two levels and then a 10-minute walk along the softly lit, thickly carpeted corridor to Koga's clinic. It was blessedly quiet down here, and there were only a few other people in sight. No one paid attention to Bracknell, for which he was thankful. It meant that there was no alarm yet from the hospital about his absence. The sign on the door was tastefully small, yet Bracknell found it almost ludicrously boastful. Ideal Renewal Center, Koga Takeo, M.D., D.C.S. Hoping he didn't look too disreputable, Bracknell opened the door and stepped into the small waiting room. Two brittle-looking women sitting in comfortable armchairs looked up at him briefly, then turned their attention back to the screen on the far wall, which was showing some sort of documentary about wild animals. Silky music purred from hidden speakers. There were two empty armchairs and a low table with another screen built into its surface. The table's screen glowed softly. Bracknell went to the table and bent over it slightly. "Welcome to Ideal Renewal Center," said a woman's pleasant voice. "How may I help you?" "I need to see Dr. Koga." "Do you have an appointment?" "This is about his brother, Toshikazu," Bracknell replied. A moment's hesitation, then a different voice said, "Please take a seat. Someone will be with you in a moment." Koga Clinic. A young Asian woman opened the door on the far end of the waiting room and crooked a finger at Bracknell. Wordlessly, she led him to a small examination room, gestured to the chair next to the examination table, and softly closed the door behind her as she left. Bracknell suddenly felt uncomfortable. What if they're calling security? But no. How would they know who I am? Still, he felt trapped in this tiny, utterly quiet room. He stood up and reached for the door just as it swung open, and a stocky, grim-faced Asian stepped in. He looked young, but his handsome face did not seem to go with his chunky build. His cheekbones were sculptured, his jawline firm, his throat slim and unlined. He wore a trim, dark mustache, and his hair was cut short and combed straight back off his forehead. "I am Toshikazu's brother, Takeo," he said as he firmly closed the door behind him. Takeo looked suspicious, almost angry. He took in Bracknell's unimpressive coveralls and paper shoes at a glance. He must be a good diagnostician, Bracknell thought. "Well, what's he done now?" Bracknell took in a breath, then said, "I'm afraid he's dead." Takeo's eyes widened. He tottered to the examination couch and sagged against it. "Dead? How did it happen?" "He died in an explosion aboard the freighter Alhambra. He was a convict being shipped out to the belt." "They finally got him, then." "You know about it?" Bracknell said. Rubbing at his eyes, Takeo replied, "Only that he was running from something, someone. He was frightened for his life. He wouldn't tell me what it was about. He said then I'd be marked for murder, too." Bracknell sat in the chair in the corner. "Did he ever mention Yamagata to you?" "No," Takeo answered, so sharply that Bracknell knew it was a lie. "He never told me anything about why he was being pursued. I only knew that he was in desperate trouble. I changed his appearance, his whole identity, twice. And they still found him." "Poor Toshi." Takeo's chin sank to his chest. "He told me about your ability to change people's identities," said Bracknell. Takeo's head snapped up. He glared at Bracknell. "I need my identity changed." "You said Toshi was a convict. You're one also, eh?" Bracknell almost smiled. "The less you know, the safer you are." Shaking his head, Takeo said, "I help my brother because he's my brother. I'm not going to stick my neck out for you. You've helped other people who wanted to start new lives. Toshikazu told me about your work. Those people could afford my fees. Can you?" With a rueful grin, Bracknell admitted, "I don't have a penny." "Then why should I help you?" "Because if you don't, I'll tell you your brother's whole story, who was after him and why. Then you'll know, and then I'll let Yamagata's people know that you know. The people who killed him will come here to kill you." Takeo was silent for several long moments. He stared into Bracknell's eyes. obviously trying to calculate just how desperate or determined this stranger was. At last,